Father, we thank you, Lord, for your encouragement from time to time by the Spirit of the Lord and from your word, that you are always there, and no matter what we're going through, you will never leave us nor forsake us. And through it all, we're coming to victory at the end, and your name will be glorified. Now, as we look into the word of God this morning, let the entrance of it into our hearts and our spirits shine the light and also give us understanding. As it is written, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Overcome series, day 6, the rewards and the overcomers' rewards. Yeah, I'm going to talk about rewards in general and then overcomers' rewards particularly. If we don't finish it today, we'll wrap it up tomorrow. But what is a reward? Generally speaking, what's a reward? Well, it can be a recompense for some worthy act, some good deed. It can be a recompense for achievements, etc. A reward can also be a retribution for wrongdoing. So rewards can be recompense for good. It can also be a retribution for wrongdoing. Now, throughout the Bible, we know that God talks about rewards. And there are different kinds of rewards. I'm going to be talking through some of these rewards today. We've got immediate rewards. Can be also short-term rewards. Long-term rewards, and then even eternal rewards. And these rewards can be for either good or for evil. Now, there are many, as you know, many promises in the Bible that carry conditions. So, in a way, the fulfillment of that promise may also be seen as a reward for meeting the conditions. You know, so you know, rewards can be looked at in so many ways. If God gives a promise and, you know, gives a condition to that promise, now if we meet that condition, then obtaining that promise can also be viewed as a reward for meeting those conditions. Now, the good rewards should provoke us to good works. And, if you can say bad rewards or retribution should be a deterrent from wrongdoing. You know, so there are many of these things throughout the Bible, and we want to look at some of them today. We're going to end the series with the overcomers' rewards, but let's look at rewards in general. What does the Bible say about rewards in general? You know, so I'll take it as a Bible study and go through it slowly. I got a lot of scriptures, but I want to get through it quickly as well. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, we see, you know, and it's not everything that God's, you know, every reward that is called out specifically, you know, as a reward. But we can see when we read it, it is indeed a reward. Here's Colossians 3, verse 23. It says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve, you know, the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall also receive for the wrong which he doeth. You know, and there is no respect of persons. So this is the place where we find reward for good, reward for evil. If you do well, you receive the reward of the inheritance. And we're encouraged to do well. We're encouraged to do everything heartily as unto the Lord, so that we might receive that reward. But we are also warned that likewise, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. So there is always reward for good and reward for evil. Praise the Lord. And so there is no respect of persons. So that's our lead of scripture in talking about rewards. So we see that it's on both sides. Rewards for good, reward also for evil. And there are many other scriptures in like manner. We'll go through some of them slowly to give us, we're leading up to somewhere with this lesson. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'll start from verse 8. It says, now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So every man will receive his own reward according to his own labor. You're not going to receive reward for someone else's labor, whether good or evil. You know, so each person will receive reward for themselves according to their own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. Now, he said, according to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon. But every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For that foundation can no man lay, but that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon that foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, well, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, find out what sort it is. Now, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But on the other hand, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. So in this scripture, we see that, you know, sometimes a lack of reward may also be a reward for not meeting up to the standard. You know, sometimes, you know, when people, I mean, you have award ceremonies and so forth, even in music and arts today and theater, you know, they do music awards, these awards and these awards, you know, some people receive awards, some people receive nothing. The ones that receive nothing, it's not necessarily that they, you know, receive a bad award. It's just that they receive nothing. So receiving nothing can also be a reward, you know, for not meeting the conditions that would have earned us the reward. You know, so, you know, there's many ways that you can look at this. Here it's talking about the foundation is already laid. We know that is Christ. The apostles, the prophets, they laid the foundation for us. Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. Now we begin to build on that. You know, what are you going to, I mean, what are you building? What kind of material? What kind of material are your works made of? Would they be gold? Would they be silver? Would they be precious stones when tried in the fire? I mean, those rare metals and stuff like that, they will survive the fire and they will even, you know, be strengthened and, you know, glister because of all the, you know, burning away of the dross. But if it is wood, hay, and stubble, well, they'll be consumed in the fire. So, you know, this is a lesson. I mean, this scripture is a lesson about, you know, making sure that our works will stand the test of time. And that was, you know, he said, you know, if it will be tried, will the work stand? If he stands, well, Jesus himself said, behold, you know, I come quickly, bringing my reward with me. That's in Revelation 22 and 12. You know, to give to every man according as his work shall be. Give to every man according as his work shall be. So, you know, let's consider a few other scriptures. You know, as we go through this, I want you to pay attention to these scriptures. You may need to write them down yourself, because I don't see any of these scriptures being posted yet. So write them down yourself. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, that's another depiction, you know, of reward. First, we're going through the different indications of reward in the scriptures, you know, and then we'll eventually talk about the overcomers' rewards. Well, let's read this one. It says, I will read it from verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We alluded to this yesterday. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. So we see that there's always reward for works. Now, we are not saved by works, but there are rewards for works. And scripture says, you know, those who have been saved, let them be careful to maintain good works. You know, we'll get to that. You know, so there are rewards for works. Whereas works cannot save us, our works, we are promised we'll get some rewards. So everything that you are doing for the Lord will have a reward, you know. So when we are doing whatever it is we are doing for the Lord, don't be weary, you know, because there are rewards. There are rewards. Now let's read Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 10. At the moment, I'm still just talking generally about rewards. It's giving you some scriptures about rewards. So here's Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. Now, in this scripture, let's see what the Lord has to say. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. And his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. So he always, you know, many scriptures that tell us that the Lord, you know, will bring reward when he comes, you know. So there is always reward as we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Remember that. Whatever we are doing has a reward. If we do it faithfully, we have a reward before the Lord. Now, if we don't produce fruit, then we've already covered that the other time, that those who are not producing fruit, they will cut off. Now, in the book of Titus chapter 3, you know, and verse 8, he talks about, he said, this is a faithful saying. And these things that I will, that thou affirm constantly, just like I'm doing here today, you know, that they which have believed God, right? What did they do? They might be careful to maintain good works, because there is a reward for good works. Okay. Now, the greatest reward that God can give us in this life's journey is himself. You know, and God spoke to Abraham about that in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. He said, you know, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. So, you know, getting God is the greatest reward. Because if you, I mean, God owns everything. And if you get God, you got everything. So there is nothing else that can be greater than having God himself in this life that we are in. You know, and we have to be careful when God has given us such a promise, you know, to make sure that we do not fall short of it. There are some people that were promised many things in the Bible that fell short, either because of unbelief, or they got weary, or they turned back in their hearts, you know, and so forth. You know, whatever it was, you know, they fell short of their promise. Now, we will not fall short by the grace of God of such a promise. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, you know, chapter 30, let's consider, you know, what God has to tell us in verse 15. So Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15 says that I have set before thee this day life and good on the one hand and death and evil on the other hand. So these are rewards. You know, in fact, if you read all of the chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, you see how God, you know, put a lot of promises, but there are rewards for doing good. He said, if you do all these things that I command you this day, then you'll be blessed in the city, you'll be doing this, and you'll be doing that. You'll be head, you'll be not tail, you'll be above and not beneath. All of these things, all those promises really are rewards. The first 12 verses of Deuteronomy 28, they are rewards based on the conditions that God gave at the beginning of the chapter. And what are the conditions? Well, it shall come to pass if thou shalt diligent. So there's a big if. If thou shalt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord will set you on high. So begin to say all those what we call promises, but they're actually rewards for keeping his voice, for being diligent to observe his commandments. Those are actually rewards. So sometimes when we look at promises in the Bible, yeah, look again, there might actually be a reward for keeping the condition that is attached to that promise. In this case, if they are diligent to hearken to the voice of the Lord and to observe and do all his commandments that they are commanded, then they will obtain all these blessings. So those are the rewards for doing what God said. Hallelujah. Bless you be in the city. Bless you be in the field. Blessed be the fruit of thy body, you know, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed will be the basket and your store. Blessed shall thou be when you go out, when you come in. The Lord will cause your enemies that come against you to be smitten before your face. They come against you one way. They go out seven ways. I mean, all these things are rewards, even though they sound like blessings, promises. They're actually rewards for keeping his commandments. The Lord will even himself command a blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all you set your hand to do. He will bless you in the land which the Lord gives you. He will establish you to be a holy people, you know, and all of that. If that thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord and, you know, so on. And so all of these promises, be above, be plenteous in goods, Lord will open to you his good treasure and all that, heaven to give you rain and so on and so forth. You know, be above only and never beneath. You know, all of this is if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to do and to observe, and to do them, and go not aside any of these words. Now, then he started to say, but if thou shalt turn aside and will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to do all these things which I command you this day, then there's other rewards, which are the bad rewards, if you want to call it that, or retribution for disobedience. He brought all kinds of curses that may come over them. We're not even going to get into that one. So you can see that the rewards are put out there as even a promise sometimes, a series of promises, but they're actually rewards for doing that which is right. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 20:30 for a minute. I want to also read verses 19 and 20. And he says, look, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So he's going to encourage them. He said, therefore, choose life, you know, that you may live, you and your seed. You know, be sure that you love the Lord your God and obey his voice, and that you cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Those are rewards. You know, living, I mean, wellness in life, length of days, they're actually rewards for keeping his commandments. And that you may dwell in the land peaceably and so forth. You know, all of that is, they are rewards. So let's keep that in mind. There are more rewards that are given in the Gospels concerning our journey here in life. And then again, like I said, there are short-term rewards. There may be long-term rewards, and there are also eternal rewards. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 10. And we're looking to look at verses 41 and 42. No, Matthew 10, verse 41. And it says that he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So there's something called a prophet's reward. It's actually like reward for service. The prophet who is called the servant of the Lord, if they do their work diligently, they have a reward. Now you that also receive them in the name of the Lord, say, hey, this is a prophet, a man of God. His words have been verified. He brings the word, he brings the true teaching, and he's instructing us to put our hearts after the Lord, and he's not causing us to go in other directions. And you receive them as the, you know, a prophet. Well, you'll also get the same reward. You know, so it's amazing how God does his things. You know, sometimes we only think that, yeah, it's only the prophet. And sometimes even the prophet themselves, they think they are higher than everybody else. You know, but they think that he wants to have the word of the Lord. But think again. The Lord said, look, if you receive the prophet as he is sent from the Lord, as a prophet of the Lord, then you will receive the same reward that the prophet himself would have gotten. So, you know, the mystery of God is really great, because people don't understand how God does his rewards, you know. And if you also receive a righteous man, in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. I mean, there are many rewards, and people are going to be shocked and surprised how God does rewards at the end. But there's also rewards here in life. You know, some of these may be eternal. We don't know when God will do the reward. Now, whosoever shall give drink unto one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, you know, only in the name of a disciple. I mean, you may be part of a team that's supposed to go out because, you know, your team leader sent you to go do some outreach and so forth, and you do it faithfully. Well, you are doing it in the name, even in the name of a disciple, because you may have, it may be your team, may be called this and this and that, and somebody instructed you to do it. Something as simple as that, if you do it faithfully, you actually have a reward. You will not lose your reward, Jesus said. In no wise will you lose your reward. So consider all these various rewards. Matthew chapter 6, Let's take a look at the first six verses or so. And this one, you know, they start also talking about some wisdom in how we do things and how God may view our motives. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, no reward is actually, you know, horrible because you already got reward. And look at how, let's see how Jesus explained it. You can't have the reward both ways. Either you get the reward of men because your heart was not right, because that's what you were looking for, or you get reward from God. Now, he said, look, when you do your alms, don't sound a trumpet before you, as do the hypocrites in the synagogues and the streets. You know, because, you know, they love to have glory of people, glory of men. Say, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, so sometimes when we get accolades, and if that's what we are looking for, it's nothing wrong if people give honor to whom honor is due. But if our heart is desiring that honor, desiring the glory of men, then the Bible says that, well, you already got your reward. And there's no need for you to look for some other reward from the Lord, you know, because you got glory from men. You know, but you say, look, when you do your arm, you know, don't even let your left hand know as much as what your right hand is doing. When you do your arms in secret, then your Father himself will reward you openly. Now, the reward openly, those are, you know, visible rewards here on earth. And when you pray, he said, don't be like the hypocrite that love to stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets to be seen of men. You know, now we have modern day hypocrites today also. I love to be seen of men. You know, we love to make long prayers, you know, just to be seen of men. Nothing wrong with long prayers. If it is the prayer is effectual and fervent before the Lord. But if the intent is to be seen as though we know how to pray, then you have your reward because people have seen that you are a great prayer warrior, you know, and, that's your reward. But, I mean, you can pray long, you can pray hard, you can pray fervently. As long as our heart is right before the Lord and it wasn't because of people to know that we know how to pray, then there is still room for reward from God. But if in our heart we seek glory and honor from men, is what Jesus is saying, then when you get that, that's all the reward you're going to get. God's not going to reward us again. Because we were already seeking reward from men. Now, talk about when you pray, you know, how you should do it and so forth. Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Now, those are also your rewards here on earth. You know, and then he told us, look, even in prayer, told them how to pray and so forth. So, those are different kinds of rewards like that. Let's look at some lessons that Jesus gave about some other rewards. Even when he comes in the glory of his kingdom, Matthew chapter 25, you know, Jesus said, look, when the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his kingdom, you know, there are some things, some ways that he's going to reward even the nations. You know, some, you know, we don't understand some of these, the ways that Jesus is going to judge here, but it is indeed in the scriptures. And so let's look at, you know, some of them. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25, let's look at, you know, some of the things that Jesus said in this lesson. You know, he said the Lord will say to some of them, you know, and he was studying there's a parable he gave here, the parable of the talents, if you want to read it from verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is a man like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave unto one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, every man according to his several ability. Now that's according to their abilities. And straight away he took his journey. Now he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made more other 5. And likewise he that received 2, he gained other 2. But he that received the one, he went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. So he that had received the 5 talents, he brought the other 5 also, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5. Behold, I've gained 5 more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Now, that's reward. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So this man's going to get tremendous reward, the joy of the Lord. And he's going to be ruler over many things. You know, he was given something to be tested with. He was faithful. Now he's going to get a whole lot more responsibility, but also in the terms of authority, you know, rulership and authority over many things. And the same happened with the one who received 2. Each one of them produced 100%. 5 produced 5, 2 produced 2. That's 100%. So they got the same reward, basically. The same commendation was said to both of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So, because of their several ability, each one was given something to benefit with. That's right. If you had the ability to handle 5, you were given 5. If you had the ability to handle 2, you were given 2. Now, if you had received the 5 and you did with it what the master wanted, you know, then you get the reward of this kind of commendation. Likewise, the same that received the 2 and did with it what the master wanted. Both the reward for the one that received 5 and produced 5, and the one who received 2 and produced 2, both the rewards were exactly the same. There was no difference at all. You know, so, but one person received 1 and he looked at the others and said, well, why did I have only 1? You know, this one had 2, the other one had 5, but I got only 1. But remember, it was according to their ability. That's all that God knew he could handle. Couldn't handle more than that. You know, but instead of being diligent and dutiful for the duty that has been put into his hands, he was grumbling and complaining that he was not like others. You know, some people actually look at, well, why am I not the one on stage? Why am I not the one that's preaching? Well, maybe that's not where God wants you to be at. You know, we've seen examples of some people that didn't care about that. You know, Stephen and Philip, the evangelists, they were ordained as deacons to serve tables initially, you know, because the apostle said, look, we can't handle this business of women asking for this and that every day. We need to focus on prayer and the preaching of the word. So seek ye out among yourselves 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and power and faith and character that we can, ordain over this ministry. Philip and Stephen were 2 of those 7. But they went down, you know, among the people. In the book of Acts chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen did miracles, signs and wonders among the people. He didn't need to be on the platform, you know, and God rewarded him. Stephen also likewise went in Acts chapter 8 and verse 6 to Samaria. And did great miracles, revival and everything broke forth. You know, people, demons crying out, all kinds of things. And God also rewarded him. You know, but some people say, well, gee, why am I not the one? I mean, these 2 could have said, well, why do we have to serve tables? Why can't we be like the apostles? You know, but they didn't. They gladly did the work that they were assigned. But yet, they found time to minister in the marketplace, in the cities and so forth. You don't have to have a microphone and be on stage to be effective in the kingdom. These people were mighty. They did mighty miracles among the people. So, and they got tremendous reward. Now, if you then say, well, why am I not like that? I'm not going to do anything. You know, some people fold their arms and do nothing in the ministry where they belong to, just because they are not the ones preaching, or they think they can't, you know, do anything, or they can't contribute. You can always contribute. You got to find out what it is God put in your hands to do. And if you don't do it, you know, then it will be taken from, you know, the, when the day of reckoning came, while the one that received the five, the one that received the two are getting the benediction and getting greater authority over many things and entering into the joy of their Lord, this one that did nothing, you know, he, even that which he had to start with was taken from him. And, it was a problem. And he says, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, regret and sorrow and so forth. You know, wow. Outer darkness means far away from the presence of the Lord. The farther you go away out from the presence of the Lord, the dimmer the light is. You know, so there are some people that have a seat reserved at the table. They've got the brightest light, you know, and they're right around him, you know, and so forth. But when, you know, somebody's cast into outer darkness, they're thrown far away from the presence of the Lord. And then there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This particular one was not cast into hellfire, or just out, you know, outer darkness. They're not even close to being in the inner circle, not even the general circle. They're way out, left field or whatever you want to call it, you know, and yeah, there'll be a lot of regret, you know. So, you know, to make sure that we have the proper rewards, let's be doing the thing that the Lord put in our hands to do. Now let's read also, Matthew chapter 5 verse 12, and then I'm going to give us some other stories of rewards in the Bible, you know, and, you know, towards the end, if we don't have time today, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll go through the overcomers rewards. First, I'm just talking generally about rewards. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, you know, the Lord is talking about some reward also that we can get when we are persecuted. He said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So when you suffer for the name of the Lord, then there is a great reward, and you are instructed to rejoice. That's your reward. So that one, actually, reward will be in heaven. But rejoice now, because your reward will be great in heaven. Well, let's look at some rewards that some people got for the various their journeys in life. The kind of relationship they went through in life with the Lord. Enoch, you know, we're told in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. And you know, I always talk about this Enoch fellow. Let's see, it's one of my favorite characters. He walked with God. That's what this platform is titled after. Walking with God. That's why we always talk about Enoch. Enoch walked with God. You know, we've talked about what that means at different times. And what was his reward for walking with God? Well, let's read it together. You know, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Well, you go down to Hebrews chapter 11, then you understand what God taking him means. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that Enoch by faith was translated that he should not see death. His reward for his pursuing after the Lord for 300 years, he did it. His reward was to be translated so that he will not see death. He left this earth without dying. That was his reward. Hallelujah. And he got it too. You know, but it took him a lifetime though of pursuit after the Lord. Bible say that for 300 years, when he was 65 years old, he began to figure it out and began to walk with God. And he walked with God for 300 years, you know, and, you know, he figured it out. Praise the Lord. In those days, they used to live many, 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 many long years. It took this man a lifetime of walking with God. It wasn't the first day that he started walking with God, even the first year that God took him. You know, he went through many things, probably a lot of pruning, you know, a lot of mountains and valleys, lots of ups and downs. And remember, he also had sons and daughters and all these things that were born unto him. So this whole time, you know, he was raising family. I mean, walking around with family did not prevent him from seeking the Lord and following after hard. This man followed hard after the Lord, and God rewarded him by translating him. Let's look at a few examples of other people, you know, who followed God with fastings, with prayer, with a life of devotion, and various things. You know, the story of two people in the book of Luke chapter 2. One of them is called Simeon, and the other is called Anna. But let's see what they did. In the book of Luke chapter 2, these were the early days even, you know, in the life of Jesus Christ. You know, he was just recently born, and now his parents, Mary and Joseph, are bringing him into the temple, right? You know, to do for him according to the manner of Moses and stuff like that. So here is Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. So they bring the little boy into the temple, and we're told that, look, there was a man, you know, who was called Simeon and so forth, you know. So let's read from, let me just read it from verse 25. There's a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So his life was characterized by waiting on the Lord, you know, and his eyes were set on something in his heart, you know, and he served the Lord faithfully, waited on the Lord. But on the Lord, the reward that God gave him was he was not exactly like Enoch in the sense that he would be translated without seeing death, but his only reward was that he would not die until he has physically seen the Lord's Christ. Hallelujah. It didn't matter if the Lord didn't come for 200 years when he was still alive. Didn't matter. This man was going to set his eyes on the Lord's Christ, that little anointed baby, you know. So one day he came into the, by the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus for to do according after the custom of the law, this man Simeon said, "Hey, give me the child." And he took up the child in his arms and blessed God. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he revealed something powerful. He said, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." So God had given him a word, and he believed it, you know, and he saw it, and that was his reward. "For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." So that was his reward, and he got it too. And likewise, you know, that was Simeon was in verses 25 to 26. Likewise, Anna in verse 36. Anna was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age, and she had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow, you know, now of about, you know, 84 years. And this woman, she departed not from the temple. Husband had died for many years, and, you know, she would just, you know, serve God daily with fastings and prayers night and day. And she was rewarded likewise. She coming in at that same instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that, you know, heard him, that were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. So this woman's reward for her serving the Lord night and day with prayers and departing not from the temple, that was her calling. She did it faithfully. Even though she had lost her husband, well, she wasn't there bemoaning the loss of her husband all the time. She just used that to serve the Lord, you know. And she was rewarded by seeing the Lord's Christ. There was a woman called Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. There's a story in her life. You know, she had a lot of good works that she had done. acts that she had done for the disciples, and, you know, how she'd been kind, you know, to people and etc., you know, and all the things that she had done, made clothes for them and did all kinds of things and so forth. Well, you know, let's read verse 36 of Acts chapter 9. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, who by interpretation is called Dorcas. You know, so you can call her Tabitha or you can call her Dorcas. Many people refer to her as Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds that she did. So good works, well, does God have reward for good works in this life? Well, absolutely. Here's an example. You know, it came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died. And then when they had washed her and laid her in an upper chamber and so forth, you know, they were getting ready to bury her and so forth, you know. And then it turned out that, you know, Peter was close by. So they sent to Peter that he should come. And when they brought him onto the upper chamber where they laid the woman, everybody stood around weeping and so on. And here's what they said to Peter. Look at all the garments she made. Look at all the things she did. You know, and they were telling of all her good works. You know, and so Peter said, okay, fine. He put them all out, knelt down and prayed. And the Lord raised the woman up. But the lesson behind, as a salient lesson behind this, was that all the good works that she did, which was even presented, like, look at all the things she did. And eventually, God rewarded her, bringing her back to life for all those things. You know, now, what about in Acts chapter 10, the first four verses? There was this a certain man in Caesarea that was called Cornelius. He was a centurion of the band, the Italian band. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people. And he prayed to God always. Now, he saw in a vision, evidently one day or one night, that the angel of the Lord came to him and said to him, Cornelius. And he was afraid. And then the Lord, through the angel, said to him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. So, you see, his life of devotion to prayers, you know, and so forth. Yeah, this man, you know, was of the Italian band, probably, you know, possibly a Roman and so on and so forth. He'd done many things, you know, for, you know, gave alms to people and so on and so forth. And God rewarded him. He said, look, all the time that you have done prayers and giving alms and so forth, the angel is telling him, look, these things have come up before God. So, ladies and gentlemen, all the good works that you are doing, as long as you're doing it unto the Lord, they are actually stored and will come up before the Lord. And I pray over everyone in this room, let your good works speak for you before the Lord in the day when it counts the most. That's right. There'll be some day that those good works will come up before the Lord for you. In the case of Dorcas, she had even died. Her good works came up before the Lord. Brought her back to life. In the case of this man, his good works came up before the Lord. And, you know, I mean, at this time, he was a heathen. You know, was a Gentile. And so forth. But he, you know, he had the fear of God in his heart. And he was trying to do the right thing by God and everything. And eventually, this thing brought salvation not only to him, but his entire household. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And his was a story that actually made Peter realized that, look, the gospel is not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. You know, and it took the apostles some serious convincing for them to even understand that. Because even Jesus himself said, look, I'm not sent but to the house of Israel only, you know. So they couldn't understand that, but there was a shift. And God had to show Peter many things by vision and so forth. And don't call anything, you know, a curse which God has blessed. And don't call anything unclean which God had blessed. So finally, he figured it out. You know, when he went and preached to this Cornelius, and while he was yet preaching, before he had chance to lay hands on anybody, before he had chance to baptize anybody with water. But that was the pattern. You know, repent ye and be converted and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was what he said. Peter himself said that, you know, in Acts chapter, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, he said that in Acts chapter 2. But here, he didn't get a chance to lay hands on anybody. He didn't get a chance to baptize them with water in the name of the Lord. He was just speaking to them the word of the Lord. And the next thing you know, Holy Spirit came down upon Cornelius and his household. And Cornelius received the Lord. His household also, all of them received the Lord. Because his prayers and his arms came before the Lord. And there are many other promises of rewards for, you know, good works and even perseverance. Take a look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. You know, the Lord encouraged us that continue in good works and you're going to eventually get the reward. Let us not be weary, he said, in well doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So there is reward also for perseverance and not giving up and not fainting. Continuing the good works. You know, don't say, well, you know, I've been doing all these things. The Lord did not reward me anyway. Well, don't say that. You know, the reward might be just around the corner. You know, so stay with it. And in due season, the Bible says, you will be rewarded. You know, what about 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8? What does that one say? Well, it talks about the same thing. Look, there is a crown of righteousness which the Lord, you know, even the righteous judge shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but to all of them that love is appearing. And why is he getting this crown? Listen to why he's getting it. He said, look, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's how, you know, for the resilience, for going through the journey, the ups and downs, climbing the mountains, you know, doing whatever it takes to keep on serving the Lord, doing the will of God and the calling of God in his life, keeping the faith, staying on course, you know, fighting a good fight and all of that. At the end, he said, there's a crown of righteousness. Glory to God. You know, and he said, well, you know, the Lord already revealed it to him that he's getting it, but he's encouraging others that, look, it's not only to me that God will give this thing. God has reserved these crowns to all those that love the appearing of the Lord. Well, loving his appearing also helps us to continue on track, to stay on track, because you know he's coming. You know, if you know the Lord is coming, then you continue to do the right thing. You know, people who don't think the Lord is coming anymore, they just give up and they continue to do whatever they like. That's not according to the way of the Lord, because they, you know, they are not sanctifying the coming of the Lord in their hearts. You know, but the person that say, ah, my master is coming. Jesus said, look, be ye also ready, so that, you know, you'll be ready to open to the master at any time, whether it comes night, day, or morning, second watch, night, fifth watch, or whatever. You'll be ready to open to him immediately. Now, those are those that wait and watch for their Lord. Say, well, I'm waiting and watching for the Lord as those that wait for the breaking of day. You know, are you waiting? Are you watching for the Lord? There's rewards for that as well. And then there are the overcomers' rewards. You know, and I will reserve that more so until tomorrow. So let me give a review of what we have done here today. We've talked about the various kinds of rewards and the various ways that rewards might be presented in the Bible. At one time, God presented himself as a reward. He said, I am your exceeding great reward. Genesis 15 and 1. And this was beyond God giving something to Abraham. It was God giving himself, making himself available, accessible. You can access any part of me. look, by grace you have access, we are told in Romans 5. You have access. You know, Jesus gave us access through his blood to the throne of grace. But at this time, God was telling Abraham, look, all I have is yours. I'm giving you myself. that's your reward for following the Lord. But unfortunately, Abraham didn't catch the fire. there's a fire that should have lit in his heart at this time when God said this thing. But it was an incredible promise for God to give himself, not a handout, but himself. I can't even fathom what it all means. But that was what God offered Abraham. But Abraham, like the rest of us, but I need a child. I need this. I need that. And that's how we miss some of the greatest things that God wants to do in our lives many times, because we're so focused on our need consciousness. Well, I need a child. Well, God just offered you himself. What in the world are you thinking about a child for? but that's the way it is with us. When God offers us himself, we're thinking of all these other temporal things. I need this, I need that. God will give you all those things anyway, but get God first. That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the character of God. Seek that first. Now, all these other things will be added. But if you seek all these other things first, you may gain those things and then lose your soul. Then what good is it to you then? So the greatest of those rewards that God offered back in the Old Testament was himself. And there are many other rewards, lessons of rewards that we have read today. In summary, we're also told that, look, there is a reward that is coming. Jesus said it. God said it in Isaiah 40 and 10. That he's bringing his reward with him. Jesus said it in Revelation 22 and 12. All these things are in the scriptures. Here's another one that I'm going to read for us real quickly. Chapter 62. Let me find the verse here. I'm going to read it from, verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, and behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. Same thing like he said in Isaiah 40 and 10. And God, says that we must, even now that we are saved, be careful to maintain good works. That's in Titus 3 and 8. So we gave many other scriptures of many other places where Jesus talked about rewards. And also I brought out this lesson that many promises in the Bible that are attached to conditions. Those promises, when you obtain those promises, those are actually rewards for keeping and meeting the conditions that were attached to such promises. So see it like that next time you read some of these promises. That when the Lord say, if you do this, then I will do that. Well, when he does the then part, that's a reward for you doing the if part. Exodus 15 and 26. If thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, your God, is what he said. He starts it out with if, So the if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, your God, and you will do that which is right in his sight, and you will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes. So this promise that we read and quote and refer to all the time that says, then I will put none of these diseases over you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth you. We read it as a promise, but it's actually a reward. It's a promise, but it's a reward for doing the if part. When you do the if, you keep his commandments, hearken to the voice of his word, and so on and so forth. you know, then I will do these things. So every time we read these promises, you know, that say if, and then the Lord promised something behind it, well, I want you to begin to see it as a reward. But that's really what it is. Here's a global one in John chapter 15, you know, and verse 7. Say, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Now, it looks like a promise, and it is a promise, but it's a reward. It is a reward for abiding in him and for his words abiding in you. It's a reward. And there are many other such promises throughout the Bible. Anytime that the Lord said, if you do something, then I will do the other thing, then look at it as a reward. You know, if you get that promise, it's only because you kept the condition. And so in that case, it becomes a reward. And Jesus promised many things to us and said, well, look, those of you, you know, that follow me, he said, if a man follow me, you know, anyone that believes me, let him take up his cross, follow me. And if a man follow me, he shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Well, that's a promise, but it's a reward for following him. That you will have the light of life. You will not stumble. You will not be in confusion. The Lord will be around you all the time. The light, the glory of the light of God will shine in you, through you, around you all the time. It's a promise, but it's a reward for following him. What more shall I say? This whole Bible is, inviting us to follow the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Come. Walk with me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Put your hands in my hands and walk with me, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, that seems like a promise, but it's also a reward. You know, a reward for following after the Lord, choosing him as our chief joy and committing the keeping of our souls unto him. You know, the promises that come from doing all those things, they are rewards for keeping the conditions. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's part one of rewards and the overcomer's rewards. By the grace of God, I will do part two tomorrow. I don't want today's room to be too long. I want to give time for reactions. Part two tomorrow will be the overcomer's rewards. And James introduced it. But many of it that we will talk about will be what Jesus himself said in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. But let's look briefly, just for a look ahead, at how James introduced it. And then we'll wrap it up there for today and take your reactions. In James chapter 1, verse 12, this is how James introduces it. He said, look, there's a lot of things that we go through in life. But if you can endure it, climb every mountain. Temptation here is like testing. You know, climb every mountain. Overcome the trial and the testing. You know, and then when you endure and pass the test, there is a reward. The reward is a crown of life. Blessed is the man that endured the testings and so forth. You know, for when he is tried, he endured trials. For when he is tried and he overcomes, then he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised. So you see how a reward is a promise here. He's receiving a reward, but it's something God promised. So promises are actually also rewards. God has promised the overcomer. In this case, this man that's being referred to in James 1 and 12 is someone that overcame trials. Whatever this may be, they overcome adversity. You know, climb the mountains, you know, they gone through stuff. They run through troops, leap over walls, whatever it is, you know, they keep on going. There is even reward at the end of that. you know, for because they overcame. Praise the Lord. And we've been talking about overcoming the last 6 days or so. Today is day six. And we're talking about the rewards for today and the rewards of the overcomer for tomorrow. I'm going to pray over the room and I will open it up for comments and discussions. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these great, exceeding great and precious promises throughout the Bible, which we now see as rewards for keeping the conditions associated with those promises. I pray the grace of God to enable us, the Holy Spirit, the enabler himself, be with you, strengthen your hearts and minds, you know, to endure and to keep on going. Hallelujah. And climb every mountain, you know, endure the hardness as a good soldier of Christ. You know, go through the ups and downs. The Bible says, go through, you know, don't stand still. Keep on moving. You know, the righteous man falleth seven times, but yet he gets up again. You know, and never stays down for the count. And blessed is he that at the end of the day shall have endured, because he will receive a crown of life. And he will also receive many overcomers' rewards we will talk about tomorrow by the grace of God. So God bless everyone. The Lord strengthen you as you go through your journey, your own distinguished and differentiated journey, which is different from anybody else's. The Lord give you the grace as you go through that journey. And may the life be filled with reward. And at the end, eternal rewards as well. There's rewards here on earth. There are rewards here on earth. And then rewards also in heaven. May the Lord give everyone understanding of these things and strengthen us in our journey. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.